Accession number 31425, Mr. Mick Gagan, sorry, Real 20. Now, just what? So let's get you. Before we go to the Korean War Veterans Association, what career did you take up after leaving the Merchant Marine?
After I left there, after the Merchant Marine, because I'd played football, I went to work at Ford's Motor Company. My brother-in-law's two brothers worked there.
What does?
We were on the machinist, in the machinists. And I went there because I played football. And I was only there a short time. And I managed to get into Ford's first team. And that was the year, 54-55, we won the league. And I've still got the medals and everything there. But I only stood that for about a year because that was, it was all machines and everything. And when I used to look out that skylight and see the nice blue sky outside, no way could I stay in there too long. So I left it after about a year. But when I did leave, I still played football for them for a few months till they finished the league. I used to go and play football on a Saturday for them, so I wouldn't let the team down. And then I left there, and I went back in the building trade, which I've been in ever since.
As a builder? Were you working for yourself?
No, I was working for a firm at the time. And I was working for, well, there was a few building firms that I worked for. And then I went to work for the local council, only for a short while. And when they started putting the first block of flats they put up in Walthamstow, I was the ganger man on the first block of flats, what they ever had to do, all the foundations and everything like that. And from there, I went to one firm, and I was on there for about 15 years after.
So when did you retire as a builder?
When, as a builder, I retired when I was 75.
That would be, what year was that? Sorry.
And it was somewhere around about this... 2004.
Now, the other thing we want to talk to you about is your membership of various associations, of which the main one is the British
Korean Veterans
Tell
Association.
Tell me about that.
Well, about 1976, I got an idea that there was different associations going, like the Burma Star and everything, but I hadn't seen one of the Korean War. So I started making inquiries and different things and any articles what I could get. Then I went and made contact with the Korean embassy to see if I could get with any information there. And it was only very brief. And one woman I met there was the secretary, and her name was Jean Tansley Harris. And she was a secretary to the defence attaché. Well, I'd left that for many months. I was trying to make inquiries here and there. And then 1977, I started doing it in earnest. And I went to see them again. And from there, there was also someone has started doing something like this down in Somerset, in Bridgewater. And I thought myself, I'll try and get in touch with them down in Bridgewater. But then in the local paper, time was getting on in there, and I was working, going out sometimes early in the morning, so I didn't have much time when I come home at night, and only weekends. And I'd got married, I had my family and that to worry about. So it went by the book a bit, but then I started advertising. I advertised in the local paper, my local Guardian, and I went back to the embassy, see Jean Tansley Harris, and she did a hell of a lot and gave me a lot of information. I got introduced to the defence attaché and also the ambassador, and then we found out that there was a branch in South London. They had a lot of fellas from the Royal Fusiliers, and there was a fella named Bill Rivers and he was overnight, he was getting a bunch of lads here from the Korean War, and he was like forming a little group there. Well, I advertised in the paper, and I had a man ring me up, and that was Alan Moody. And Alan, he was an ex-policeman. He'd done 25 years in the police, and he was a very good man, very keen on military history and anything like that. And he answered the call, and his wife, Moira. So the two of them, I went to see him, and Alan said that he'd become the secretary, and his wife would help out as well. She was an ex-nurse. And from there, we started advertising every night. We'd sit down, go around his house and sit and write. We didn't have a typewriter or nothing them days. You had to do everything by hand. And sometimes we'd sit two or three, and it was our own. Well, we didn't have no one to ask or anything for money. And all out of our own money, we'd start sending off, paying for the postage, everything, printing, going, getting something printed, different things like this. And that is how we started.
So when was it founded?
It was founded in 1977.
And how did it progress? How did things go?
Well, Alan and myself, we went down to see the South London branch. They had a group there, and then we had a little meeting with them, and we said that we'd advertise and try and get an association going if it was possible. I also made contact with the man in Somerset, Graham Granville, and that was a disaster because I called a meeting up in London and he came. I also had the American defence attaché, the Korean defence attaché, and some more people who I thought could really help if we started an association, and different things like that. And I've got photos. And
so why was it a disaster?
Well, with Graham Granville, he was on the fiddle.
Well, not right.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that.
No.
So how did things? How did it grow?
Well, it grew because Alan and myself, we advertised, we wrote to practically every paper we could think of in England. Doesn't matter where we were, we were phoning up. I even phoned the police in different towns and asked them what papers was there. And when I explained what I was doing, some of them were very helpful. I even had letters written to me by a chief superintendent up in Manchester, giving me the names of all the local papers and even give me the phone numbers as well. So everyone, and from there, we started advertising and different things like that. And this is how it went. This is how we started going. And
that's what I mean. I've got that bit, but what happened? How did it grow? I mean, what size it? What did you start doing?
Well, we started making contacts in different areas and then asking people if they'd start a branch up or anything like this, and if they could get members. And this is how it's grown over the years. But we always had the headquarters was here in London.
And what did the branches do? What was the idea of it?
Well, the branches would try and get as many Korean veterans as they could, because we said that we'd form an association where it may be beneficial to the fellas in later years, which it has turned out to be. And we had nothing to start with, and then we found a building in London, a castellated building, which we said could make a good headquarters. And I went to see it, but it belonged to the City of London, the Corporation of London, and they were going to let the building out at £500 a week. And we asked if it could be donated in any way, but no luck, so we didn't get no joy there. We tried to get different places to make headquarters, but no luck at all. So most of the work was all done in our own houses and everything like that until we got started. And the very first meeting I had when I started this branch up, I think that was in 1978, after a load of administration, was in the pub in Barking. We managed to get a room in a pub in Barking, and they charged me £10 a week. And there's no one, we hadn't got no one, I was paying the fees, £10 a week, which was a good bit of money in those days, but I didn't mind. And I managed to get 12 or 15 lads there. Then they knew someone, and then the South London branch, we kept in contact with them. And from there, we progressed all the way around. And that was going with the British Korean veterans. And then...
Now, you've got an unusual name. It's not what you'd expect to, which is Korean War Veterans Association or something like that. Can you just explain the name? Because it does
seem... People, many of the members, they wanted to forget the Korean War. And they said, do we have to have war in the name? Which we wanted to have, to show where we had been, like the Burma Star Association and stuff like that. But there were so many people who didn't want war in it. So we dropped the war. But that didn't come until we amalgamated... in 1981,
because
the fellas down in that had been going down in Somerset, and there was a lot of controversy within their ranks and everything like that, and we did amalgamate with them in York in 1981, and I think they were in the Korean War, this and that, and we had the Korean veterans, and then they decided that they'd go with our name, the British Korean Veterans Association.
Now, have you been back to Korea? Because you organised regular trips, or not you, but
yes,
they.
I've been back.
Tell me about the trips to Korea. What do you think of them?
Well, the trips back to Korea, you couldn't get better treated by the Korean people anywhere on this earth. They're marvellous to the Korean veterans, especially the Korean Veterans Association. They put themselves well out to do anything for the Korean veterans. And one man, he wrote me a letter once, it was an ambassador, and he said, never will the people of Korea forget the servicemen that helped to liberate their country, which we will always be grateful for, and different things like that. And I was the first one to go back in the British Korean veterans. I went back in December 1979, and in 1980, January, I went to the Korean Veterans Association in Seoul, which they wasn't expecting me at all. They didn't even know I was going. I didn't even know I was going because I was going to see my sister in Australia, and then diverted all my journey and everything and finished up in there. And they were very surprised when I did go. And the British Defence Attaché at that time in Seoul was Brigadier Underhill. He was the British. And I went to see him, and they were so surprised that I had turned up. And the next day, in lights above the Korean Veterans Headquarters, was welcome Mr. Gagan in lights. And then I was given they gave me 5 days in the Hotel Schiller, free of charge. They said, we'll pay for that. Well, I spent another 7 days after, but I had to pay for myself for that. But I got it at a reduced price, being a Korean veteran.
And what was it like going back to the old haunts?
You couldn't go back because there was a demarcation line. So we couldn't go back north of the Imjim. where we were stationed mostly. So all you could do was go up on Sainte Marie. That was where the Gloucesters had their big battle. And it was a hill you could overlook. And you could see right up into North Korea. And I took my binoculars with me. And you could just about make out 355, which stood out. That was the highest mountain in the division.
And so have you been back many times?
I've been back in 1980, 1991, 1995, and 2005 and 2007. I've been back about half a dozen times.
Now, what are you still on the National Committee, or because I know you're the president? You're the president of the East London branch.
East London branch, but I'm also, for the whole of Britain, I'm the life vice president and trustee of the association.
Now, what does it mean being life vice president?
Well, it's an honour. Like if you was out and the president couldn't go, then you'll take over and represent him. And also the trustee, with all, which I've always managed. I'm the longest trustee on there. Been on there. I was nominated by the board of trustees. My name was put forward, and from the trustees association, I was said that I could become a trustee. And I've been on there since 1981, and I'm the longest serving member on there.
And it's still very important to you, obviously.
It is, because especially welfare and everything for the lads who are getting on now. Because
what type of welfare role does the association have?
Well, if anyone, at the moment we've handed it all over for administration purposes to the Royal British Legion, for the simple reason that up to a few years ago, we were at our own trustees, solicitors and people like this, and accountants, but it was costing us so much money, so all that money would be coming out of the benefits, benevolent fund of the Korean veterans. So it was transferred, because at the time I was the chairman of the trustees, but I handed it over to Neil Townsend, and since then we've handed it over for administration purposes to the Royal British Legion.
And what sort of support do they give to the old veterans who've fallen?
They give a hell of a lot of support. But years ago, Samsung, they gave us, they made a big donation to the Korean veterans. They gave £500,000 to the Korean veterans, which has gone into the welfare, and from that we've helped many people who are in distress, illness, and anything like that. Where we can help out, we do, but we've had to hand it over to the British Legion for administration purposes for costs, because they've got their own...
I understand that, yeah.
They've got, and we'd hand it over to them, and also their administration, because our people are getting older. And we haven't got the people to do all this now. It was all right years ago, but not now.
Do you see it carrying on much longer, the association?
I can see it carrying on, but you've got to realise that most of them are in their 70s, late 70s, 80s, and everything like that. We are getting a dwindling association, but we'll carry on right up until... we can't carry on no more.
Thank you very much.